Blog Talk Radio.
Abraham's seed. But this make he of the Spirit read,
which they that believe
on him should do what?
Should receive.
Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Just like you receive the engrafted word of Yah, which is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. Listen to this. One more and after this and we done. And we still ain't done. Come on with it, brother.
But the Comforter, which is,
you know, that one that really feels good. Sometime when you need to be held, can't nobody hold you like the Holy Spirit can. Can't nobody comfort you like Yah can. The one that has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. 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 The one that really makes you feel good. The one that really makes you feel alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one that said, I will come and I will suck with you. Hallelujah. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. The same Spirit said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. Hallelujah. Everything that was made, hallelujah, was made by Him. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That same Spirit, hallelujah, whenever he was revealed, and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of Yah that is able to take away, hallelujah, your sins of the world, your sins, my sins, your neighbor's sins, the uncircumcised sins, hallelujah, of the world. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. That same Spirit that prophet, hallelujah, said, it is like fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. That same fire, hallelujah, whenever fire touches something, it can't remain in its present state. Hallelujah. That same fire that descended on the day of Pentecost, on a feast day. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Fire! Fire! Hallelujah. And they had cloven tongues like that as of fire. Can you say amen? Glory to the King. Hallelujah. And Yah is a consuming fire. Glory to the King.
All right. Bless you, saints. Saints of the Most High. We're going to start again, as always, with a mic check. Please give me a 10 in the chat if you guys can hear me well. Hallelujah. I'll give y'all a second. Let me know. All right. Thank you, Sister Green. Thank you, my co-host. Got good 10s. This is good. Bless you, saints. Bless y'all very well. In the sweet, precious, the strong, the victorious, and mighty overcoming name of Jesus. I am very thankful, and as always, this is a privilege, and it is really truly an honor to be before you all, always. Yes, indeed. On this Blog Talk, this brother segment, which we have weekly. Well, saints, I tell you, I'm pretty sure we have a good show tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to go into a lot of things concerning in being industrious. And, of course, fathers, you know, fathers being father figures, being that example for the generations to come. Before we get into everything, you know, we got some shout outs and everything. I noticed one thing, and everybody, I'm sure everybody knows this. pastor's been saying, he said it a while back that it's going to be a year of building. And it has been a year of building. We've been building everywhere. I've been all over the place. Thank y'all for the privilege to go all over the place and assist and be a servant to other Israelite communities and other jobs and so on and so forth. So big shout to Goshen. They got the roof up there on their storage building, I believe it is. That's looking good. Big shout out to Elder Rufus. I think they also had the floor down, and I believe some of us from Kentucky are going to be going to Georgia to assist with that roof of his house. So that's a wonderful thing. We got a lot of building going on our land in Kentucky. And of course we also was able to go to the hub as well. You know what I mean? So it's been a lot of building going on, and we've been seeing each other so much. My brother Elder Mitchell, he pretty much said, man, this is the most we've seen each other in such a short period of time. It was really good that he said that, because it was just nothing but the truth. Well, I want to give a shout out also to Brother Jonathan out there in Straightway, Alabama. We definitely got a chance to serve with our brother in South Carolina and Georgia here recently. We went out there and did some concrete work, some block work. You know, it was the first time for us to back into some existing concrete and lift that up and lay new concrete down. That brother's just a wealth of knowledge. You know, he was definitely very blessed to, well, we were blessed to learn from him. And we were able not only to learn, but I just want to thank that brother for his hospitality. I want to thank that brother for teaching us a lot of things that week. And also, you know, just his labor of love. So I appreciate you, Brother Jonathan, for all of that and giving us from Kentucky some more skills in the area, in an area of concrete and block where we can be perfected. So I appreciate that, my brother, big time. Shout out to Straightway, the hub, for allowing us to come and be servants there and assist with Pastor Dowell's, his recent and latest pour on his house, or the concrete pour. So we just been diving in concrete for weeks now, and it's been a beautiful thing. I mean, we're learning a lot. At the same time, everything that I'm learning, I can also apply in other areas. So it's just been a wonderful, wonderful few months of doing a tremendous amount of building, a tremendous amount of learning, assisting, being able to be a servant. I couldn't ask for more. So it's just a real, true, wonderful thing. I got me a pretty good audience with me today. You know, I got Brother Terrence Wilkins. He's in the house. Me and him live together, came up from Houston. He got him down here in the audience, Darius Thomas. Also, Brother Kenny that came up. We also have a new truck driver from Ohio, Brother Willie Sharp. We got him up here right now. And, of course, I got my favorite boat captain, you know what I mean, Uncle Willie. You got to love Uncle Willie. He is here. And every single time he's home off that boat, he just wants to be with the saints. He just want to be with Israel. And that by itself is a wonderful thing as well. Again, thanks. We're going to get into some, you know, being industrious. We heard what Pastor Dowell has been saying here lately. You know, he's had it on YouTube or Patreon, and also in the teaching and preachings, okay, about being concerned for this next generation. And so I'm coming off the heels of what Pastor's talking about, because, you know, he's right. I can see the concern for the next generation, but us in Israel, especially us men, okay, and this is why we're going to go into this, because we definitely got to be industrious men. We do. We have to be industrious men, because if we're not going to be industrious men, our sons are not going to be industrious. If we're going to be lethargic men, our sons are also going to be lethargic. If we're going to be passive men, our sons are also going to be passive as well. If you have going to have a nonchalant attitude about everything, then your sons are going to have a nonchalant attitude about everything. It's just going to go on, and it's going to carry, you know what I mean, if we don't make the changes today. Pastor also told us to make sure we continuously learn, learning continuously, you know what I mean, putting something before your face to learn, or information before you that's going to edify you, in order that you may be able to have information to pass on to your children. And of course, again, he had a wonderful video that I listened to yesterday. And Pastor Dow went over pretty much the same things. He was talking about building Israel. You know what I mean? And we have to do that. We can't do that with a passive mentality. So, I mean, we're going to get into a lot. But just briefly, another thing that made me want to go this direction as far as being industrious is while we were out there in South Carolina and Georgia, we were there in Augusta. That's where we had a good job out there with Brother Jonathan. So, you know, we gathered a lot of material from home, and we drove down there to meet up with our brother. And of course, we stayed with him down there, and his hospitality was wonderful. Of course, being a industrious man himself, he introduced us to folks that he know. And so, you know, there was an old man that came up there to give us a helping hand, and you know, he was almost 70 years old. And when I seen this 70-year-old man pull up on the scene, okay, to this concrete pad, or two concrete pads that we were doing and block work and such, you know, we saw him walk with a little limp there, and he took his time to observe what we had going on and everything. And, you know, we got a chance to get to know this old man, and this old man didn't waste a lot of time in his life. This old man came in there, and he can literally... We hear Shepherd say it all the time. You know, he's 56 years old and he can outwork 20-year-olds out there. Well, this old man ain't no different. And this man's about 70. But we've seen him come on the scene. He was really observing what we were doing, and he just started taking over. And he started, when he hears concrete, he starts talking about concrete. And even when the concrete truck came, that man was moving, you know. But we got a chance as we were waiting for concrete to speak to this old man, and he said a few things that really, you know, intrigued me. It gave me a whole lot of insight, and it really sounded a lot like what Shepherd was saying. So what he was telling us, you know, and he's so into what he does, and I told the brothers, I said, man, you know, you really do enjoy your job even the more so when you know exactly what you're doing, because this man enjoyed what he was doing. He could do concrete anything, pools, he can do concrete walls, he can do, you know, slabs, everything. And so he mentioned something about a concrete show. And I've heard of car shows, I've heard of gun shows, I've heard of all those shows, but never heard of a concrete show. Never heard of that before in my life. And he told us where he would go to it and stuff, and they display all the latest concrete or block land or slab land tools and stuff like that, and all the newest modern technology and expensive technology, of course. Well, when he was saying all this, you know, you can tell that as he was saying it, I was like, man, I mean, I never heard of this, but, you know, where's he going with this? And he mentioned that it's just sad today that we don't have young men that want to do the work. We don't have young men that are eager to come out here and learn and do the work. So when he was saying those things, he said, yeah, that's the reason why they're coming up with all this technology. You can kill so much manpower. And where you needed maybe 6 to 10 people to do a slab, you could probably get it done with 3 with all this technology. But you just don't have the more the generations go, the more they don't want to do anything. And I was just like, I'm just looking at him. I'm like, yeah, okay, I see that. And he mentioned how he taught his son everything he knew. And this man had been a concrete finisher for 50 years. Taught his son everything he knew, so much so that his son was out there running his own business. And when he was running his own business, he has a crew, and he can go finish a slab within 2 to 3 hours. Just based off of the old-time knowledge that this man taught him. So you have an industrious man being industrious, and then, of course, he passed it on to his son. And now his son's industrious, okay? But when this concrete finisher was telling me these things, I was just like, man, you know, that makes sense to me, because, you know, where we're going here in Israel, that's exactly what we want to do, is make sure that we have something to leave behind, and to make sure that we show our sons, teach our sons, of course, and daughters in respective places, but to teach our sons how to maintain and how to expand. And that's another thing Pastor Dow was speaking about, was expansion as well in that video he did. You know, even when I have to leave, say, for instance, Uncle Willie here, one of our favorite boat captain here, you know, if I ever have to leave the state or go out to do business or something like that, and my son's on the land, I always tell Uncle Willie, man, take him with you. Show him what you can. if you got something to do in the garden, take him with you. Show him everything you know. And he's 4 years old, but I want him to know these things. I want him to want to learn these things, and you got to catch them when they're young, us men. So, you know, if Uncle Willie's not there, if he's going on the boat or something like that, I grab a brother. I grab Terrence or Wilkins or Higgins or somebody. I tell him, hey, look, I'm about to go out to do a job over here, or I got to go deal with some business over there. Hey, show my son, because it does take a tribe to raise these children. And we're going to go into plenty of examples now. We're not, mind you, we talk about industrious, but we also going to talk about the fathers and how much of a father figure you have to be in order to do these things. And also examples of what type of father figures you shouldn't be. And going all of it. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Y'all good? Y'all ready, audience?
Yes, sir.
I say glory to the King. Got a lot of brethren. Hallelujah. Industrious. You know, we heard Shepherd tell us this recently too. And he also instructed us, of course, to increase in our talents, okay? He was talking about that yesterday on Shabbat service, increasing in the talents, you know? And if you really truly look, look at the hub, you know what I mean? And you look at even the stories of old and early straightway, you can look at the blueprint, okay, and the vision of the hub, and you cannot say that Pastor Dow did not apply himself to learn and to build up this community so that it can be a benefit and also be an example and, of course, the blueprint for communities to come. Can't say he ain't done that, because when you over here looking at the definition, all right, of industrious, it's working energetically and devotedly, hardworking, diligent, all right? It took a diligent eye, a diligent mind to do what I was doing a while back, almost 30 years ago. Now, in being diligent in this work as a consistent in effort to accomplish something, attentive, and look at this, persistent in doing anything, hallelujah, done or pursued with persevering attention. It sounds like someone that's not slacking. It sounds like someone that really got a not only a diligence about themselves, but they have a persevering attention. Meaning, if I come stumble across a wall, I'm gonna make sure I get over it. Come across some red tape, I'm gonna make sure I tear it. I'm gonna dot every I across every T. I'm gonna persevere through any painstaking task that sat before me, just so I can get the mission done. Just so I can accomplish what the Most High set before me. So we can't even say for the life of us that straightway as a whole has not been an example in the vision and in the diligence of the blueprint. Hallelujah. So let's go over here to Exodus 35. Co-host, if you're in there, let's get it done. 35. Exodus 35. We're going to do a little reading, saints. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to start over here at verse 10, all right? Now, check this out. We already defined, okay, what diligent is and what industrious is, all right? So, Exodus 35:10, and every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that Yahweh hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, his covering, his tashes, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark and the stays thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his stays and his vessels and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture and his lamps and the oil for the light, and the incense altar and his staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging of the door at the entering into the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with his brazen grate, his staves and all his vessels and the laver and his foot, the hangings thereof of the court, his pillars and their sockets and the hanging of the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and the and their cords, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments of Aaron the priest, the garments of his sons, to minister in the priest's office. Now here we go at verse 20 and 21. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought Yahweh's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up and everyone whose spirit made willing. So that's not everybody. Not everybody was willing. Not everybody was stirred up. Not everyone was diligent. Not everyone was industrious to come to the work of the tabernacle. Not at all. Verse 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto Yahweh. They all came, those who were stirred up and those who were willing. Hallelujah. So over here, 1 Kings, and this is only one verse, 1 Kings 11, verse 28. We're going to get there. All right. Let's go ahead and start at 27. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Now, this man couldn't have been made the ruler over the charge of the house of Joseph if he was not industrious, if he was not diligent, if he was not persevering and hardworking. And that's exactly what we have to do. That's exactly how we have to be, because we have to be examples to those who are coming behind us. But Jeroboam was a man of valor, and Solomon saw it. So it's not hard to see when folks are industrious, and it also isn't hard to see when folks are just plain out lazy or they drag down things, jobs especially. So as we proceed forward, being industrious is an important thing, because we do have to increase our talents. You know what I mean? And not just sit on them. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be one of those one talent saints that just sit on it. I don't want to sit on it. Do y'all want to sit on y'all talent? I don't want to sit on mine either. I don't want to sit on mine whatsoever at all, because, hey, the Most High gave it to us for a reason. And not only did he give it that for a reason, but, I mean, we can't reason within ourselves outside of what he expects from us. Not one bit, not at all. So we also, and if you guys can, I'm going to make sure I throw something out there. Shout out to Deacon Gorman. He had a really good teaching a while back called Father Figures. Y'all should go check that out. That was also inspired me to go ahead and do this broadcast tonight as well. Hallelujah. So we're going to go into some examples of a father figure or father figures, or even those who are not biologically, okay, your children, but you are still a figure to them. No different than when the book tell us, hallelujah, that, hey, be more of a father to the fatherless than a wife to the mother. We have to have fathers. And the majority of us didn't even grow up with our father, unfortunately. But it took a ministry like this that did have older men, father-type figures, that really built us up to become the men that we are today. And I'm thankful for that. So, co-host, I don't think you have this. If you do, it'd be wonderful. We're going to go into the book of Jasher real quick. All right, we're going to go to Jasher chapter 9. Now, again, I'm kind of segueing from the industrious, which, of course, these men that we're going to speak about were definitely industrious, but we also have to be father figures, okay? It takes a tribe to raise these children. It takes a tribe to raise sons. And I mean, not everybody have every skill the same. You may have a brother that knows plumbing very well. Well, guess what? Everyone, including the sons, can learn from him. You may know somebody who's a master electrician. All the men can learn from him, and the boys can learn the same. You know what I mean? But you have to be, number one, willing to learn, young men, willing to learn. And, of course, we also, as men that are older men that have boys coming up behind us, we have to be willing to teach them. Let me let y'all know something. And this is what I don't like about certain generations that came before me and their mindset. You know, me and my brother, Elder Mitchell, we have an uncle on my mother's side, my mother's sister's husband. This man was a jack of all trades. Yes, he did. He was a jack of all trades. I mean, in every way. He can pull out engines. He can rebuild them. He can put them back in. He can build barns, build homes, do concrete work. There was nothing that he could not do. Never one time. Not even gave it a thought to take us under his wing to teach us anything. Didn't want to teach us anything. And the moment that we went to him to ask, okay, if we can learn something, what he told us was, I had to get out there and get it myself, so you got to do the same. That was his response to me and my brother. Oh, well, you know, y'all got to get out there and do it like I had to get out. Nobody was there with me when I did it, so, okay, so that must be the excuse, huh? Because nobody was there. You when you went out and did all these things, you're going to treat us the same exact way. Did it feel good when nobody was there with you? Did that make you feel better? So what would possess you to see young men that also don't have fathers, but you have so much to pour into them, but you don't want to do it? Now, that's a sad thing when you want to withhold that, withhold skill. Hallelujah. It's just pitiful to me. And it wasn't until we got into the ministry where we started becoming even more so industrious. You know, I worked in the refineries. My brother worked in and out of refineries and other commercial complexes and such. And we learned from men as we went because we had nobody before us to teach us anything. So, men, if you got skills, you got things you can pass on, please pass them on. Hallelujah. The example of Abraham or Abram. In the time of old. Now over here, Jasher 9, all right, we're going to start over here at verse 3. I believe it's verse 3, okay? And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and she called her name Milcah. And she again conceived and bare a daughter, and she called her name Sarai. So this is Haran, Abram's brother, who had Sarai, whom Abraham ended up marrying later on. Verse 4, Haran was 42 years old when he begat Sarai, which was in the 10th year of the life of Abram. And in those days, Abram and his mother and nurse went out from the cave, as the king and his subjects had forgotten the affair of Abram. Don't forget, you had Nimrod that wanted to kill Abram and the son of Terah. But, okay, so that Nimrod wouldn't kill him. Verse 5. And when Abram came out from the cave, he went to who? Noah and his son Shem. And he remained with Noah and his son Shem to learn the instruction of the Most High Yah and his ways. And no man knew where Abraham was, and Abram served Noah and Shem, his son, for a long time. Now, these were his mentors, Noah and Shem. That was Abram's mentors. Were they his biological fathers? No. But he served these men for about 40 years. Okay? Verse 6, and Abram was in Noah's house 39 years. And Abram knew Yahweh from 3 years old, and he went in the ways of Yahweh until the day of his death, as Noah and his son Shem had taught him. So Noah and Shem were the ones who taught Abram the ways of the Most High. I think those are good examples. Those men are good examples. And, of course, although Terah was wicked, as you will find out, Abram, he must have been smart enough to put his son with the right people and have his son learn the ways of Yah with the right men. So Noah and Shem taught him, and all the sons of the earth in those days greatly transgressed against Yahweh, and they rebelled against him, and they served other gods, and they forgot Yahweh, who had created them in the earth, and the inhabitants of the earth made unto themselves. At that time, every man his god, gods of wood and stone, which could neither speak nor hear nor deliver, and the sons of men served them, and they became their gods, the gods they made with their own hands. Man, I tell you. So the thing is that Abram, as a youngster, as a young man, he was 10, about 10 years of age, when his father took them out of the cave and sent him over to Noah and Shem. Great examples for him, his son, to learn from. Father figures. We're going to go to verse 7. And the king and all his servants and Terah, Abram's father, with all his household were then the first of those who served gods of wood and stone. And Terah, he had 12 gods of large size, made of wood, made of stone, after the 12 months of the year. And he served each one monthly, even made sacrifices to them and offerings and such. Okay, so Abram, of course, later Abraham, learned from Noah, learned from Shem the ways of Yah. And you know, when you raise them up in the way that they should go, they should not depart from the faith, right? We're going to move mosey on to Jasher chapter 11. And this is the zeal of Abram after being taught and taught well and taught right, having a proper and having a right, a good father figure. We're going to start at 13, chapter 11, verse 13 of Jasher. Now, again, this is the zeal of Abram because he has been taught by Noah and Shem the ways of Yah so much, they are embedded in him, that he's not going to turn to the left or to the right in any way, shape, fashion, or form. Verse 13. And in the 50th year of the life of Abram, son of Terah, Abram came forth from the house of Noah and went to his father's house. And Abram knew Yah. Yes, he did. And he went in his ways and instructions. Now, mind you, this is before the tables of stone. So there was people on the earth that knew the ways of Yah. Okay. And Yahweh, his Elohim, was with him. And Terah, his father, was in those days still captain of the host of King Nimrod, and he still followed strange gods. And Abram came to his father's house and saw 12 gods standing there in their temples. And the anger of Abram, his zeal, was kindled when he saw these images in his father's house. And Abram said, as Yahweh lives, these images shall not remain in my father's house. So shall the Most High, who created me, do unto me, if in 3 days' time I do not break them all. And Abram went from them, and his anger burned within him. And Abram hastened and went from the chamber of his father's outer court, and he found his father sitting in the court, and all his servants with him, and Abram came and sat before him. And Abram asked his father, saying, Father, tell me, where is he who created heaven and earth and all the sons of men upon earth, and who created you and me? And Terah answered his son Abram and said, Behold, those who created us are all with us. They're here. They're right here. They're here in the house. And Abram said to his father, My master, show them to me, I pray you. And Terah brought Abram into the chamber of the inner court, and Abram saw, and behold, the whole room was full of gods of wood and stone, 12 great images, and others less than they without number. So he's looking at all these gods that his father has, looking at all these images that his father had made. And of course, as they go on in chapter 11, he's reasoning, trying to reason with his father. So we're going to jump down to 41, verse 41. And in verse 41, it says, and Terah's anger was kindled against his son. Why? Because Abram already took a hatchet and violently destroyed all his false gods. And Terah's anger was kindled against his son Abram when he spoke this. And Terah said to Abram, his son, say to Abram, his son, in his anger, what is this tale that you have told me? You speak lies to me. Is there in these gods spirit, soul, or power to do all that you have told me? Are they not wood and stone? And have I not myself made them? And can you speak such lies, saying that the large one that was with them smote them? It is you that did place the hatchet in his hands. And then says he smote them all. So his father already spoke against his own self. His father just told Abram, didn't I make these gods with my own hands? And that's the only thing he was trying to prove to his father. Now, see, his father wasn't the good father figure there, obviously. He's gone in the ways of Nimrod, gone in the ways of idols. But Noah and Shem were good father figures. And they taught him in the way, and they taught him in the way so well that not even Abram's father, not even his own blood father, can get him out of the ways of Yah. Think about that. Some of us strong enough that our natural family that we know are serving other gods right now? Do you love Yah? Do you have enough zeal for Yah? You have enough of a father figure of these people in this ministry, these men in this ministry, that you are not going to be turned by them that are still serving other gods? Because I promise you, Pastor Dow, Elder Becker, Elder Rufus, these men and many more have been great father figures to me and mentors to me, been rebuked by them, been comforted by them. But guess what? I am here. There's nothing my mother, nothing my father, or any other family member out there in the world that's serving any other gods can do to get me to run away and turn away from straightway. Not at all. Not one bit. It just ain't gonna happen. But Abram showed his father out. We're gonna go on a little bit more here. And Abram answered his father and said to him, and how can you then serve these idols in whom there is no power to do anything? Can those idols in which you trust, can they deliver you? Can they hear your prayers when you call upon them? Can they deliver you from the hand of your enemies? How about that? Or will they fight your battles for you against your enemies, that you should serve wood and stone, which can neither speak nor hear? Just prove them, man. Now, of course, today we're not sitting here chiseling out any other gods or anything like that, but don't forget you can make a god of your own opinion. Don't forget you can make a god of your ideas. Don't forget you can make a god of your own theology, your own psychology, sociology, whatever ology you want to put out there. You can make a god of all that stuff. Not just of wood and just stone. That's why we got to rid ourselves of a stony heart. But again, this story is to prove how the father figures of Noah and Shem, how much of an impact they had on Abram. So much so because they were examples of loving Yah and examples of following Yah, that Abram also followed Yah and was even named a friend of Yah. Now, that's some good father figures, might I say.
Yes, they are.
And we're going to go ahead and move forward to some examples that are not quite too good as father figures. Hallelujah. We're going to move over here to 1 Samuel. And we're going to start at 1 Samuel chapter 8. All right. Hallelujah. Hope all is well and y'all bearing with me. 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to go ahead and start at verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Yeah, they did. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said unto him, behold, you're old, and your sons, they don't walk in your ways. Now make us a king and to judge us like all the nations. Now see, we look at this here and we see that Samuel, he was stricken old. He was old in age. His sons were wicked, obviously. But let's just look back. Why was his sons so wicked like this? I mean, where could that have come from? It ain't that Samuel wanted his sons to be like that. But where could that have come from? What spirit could that have transferred from? You know what I mean? So we have to go find that out. Let's go ahead and go back. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to start here at verse 12. So who was the father figure for Samuel? It was Eli. Now, we just read in 1 Samuel chapter 8 that Samuel got old and he made his sons judges, and they perverted judgment. They went after lucre. They were wicked. So now we're over here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 12. And now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Belial. They knew not Yahweh. And the priest custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest servant came while the flesh was in seething, with the flesh shook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan, the kettle, the cauldron, or the pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all Israelites that came there. And before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of you, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as your soul desires, then he would answer them, no, but you shall give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. So these guys were they were out there. You know what I mean? They were truly, truly out there, man. They were out there bad. But see, what happened over here with Eli? Eli was also old. Okay, so let's move on. Wherefore, in verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before Yahweh, for the men abhorred the offering of Yah. That's what they did. They abhorred the offering of Yah. They don't know Yah. Now let's skip down to verse 22. We read in chapter 8 how Samuel was old. Well, now look at verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report. This is no good report that I hear. You make Yahweh's people to transgress. So they making Yahweh's people to transgress as well. But if you move over here to the third chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 3, 11 through 14. Look at what happened to them. And Yahweh said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all these things, all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will make it an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. So Eli didn't restrain himself and didn't rebuke his sons. But if you pay attention to the two chapters, Samuel was under the tutelage of Eli as a young boy. And he probably seen all this. Therefore, being his father figure, boom, you got the same type of thing going on. We all heard about Abraham and we heard about Isaac, how they did the same thing, a lot about their wives being their sister. We gotta be the examples, just like Noah and Shem was to Abram. We gotta be diligent in teaching our sons. That way they will not depart. Again, even Abraham's own father couldn't get him to remove himself from the ways of Yah and choose the ways of Nimrod. Got another example. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 7. Now, this one was a good one, I was so thankful to find this one because it really showed me that if you're a bad father figure, and I don't think anybody wants to be a bad father figure, but you definitely got to watch your ways because it can pass not just from father to son, but even from grandfather down to grandchildren if nobody changes up what's been perpetuated. Okay? So we're going to talk about something that spanned past generations. All right? So Joshua chapter 7. All right, and we're going to start here. We're going to go ahead and start at verse 1, right here, Joshua chapter 7. Glory to the king. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the other side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Hey, let not all the people go up. Shoot, it's going to be easy. But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor there, for they are but few in this place. We can smite them, man. They ain't by nothing. It's all right. Of course, unbeknownst to them, they don't know that Israel has already taken of the accursed thing by way of one hand and one man, because it only takes one sinner to destroy much good. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, I read that verse 4. So there went up there, thither, of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled. They ended up fleeing before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shemaim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the heart of the people melted and came as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yahweh until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Master Yahweh, why have you at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to Yah we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Yahweh, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ round about us, but cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do unto your great name? So here come Yah. And Yahweh said to Joshua, Get wherefore lies you thus upon your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now, they were told back over here in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18, it says, And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the whole camp of Israel curse and trouble it. So over here in chapter 7, Achan is actually First Chronicles called the troubler of Israel. But there's a reason for this. Okay. So let's move on. Therefore, the children of Israel, verse 12, could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Yah's not putting up with this. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith Yahweh of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. And in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought among according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which Yahweh shall take, that taken shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which Yahweh shall take shall come by households, and the household which Yahweh shall take shall come man by man. So they're doing a diligent inquiry. They're going about the saints, and they're going to find out who has this, who is the troubler of Israel, and cause their brethren to pass. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of Yahweh, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took up the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man. And Zabdi, remember that name, remember that name. And Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray you, glory to Yah. How many of y'all really, truly believe that confession is giving glory to Yah? Look at that. He says, give glory to Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what you have done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Most High Yah, Elohim of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of the goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold 50 shekels high, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it too. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before Yah. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons. Now, they didn't just take the gold. They didn't just take the garments. They didn't just take the silver. Oh, they took his sons too. Yeah, they did. And his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent. Damn, even a tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you did what, saints? Troubled us. And Yahweh shall trouble you today. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So Yahweh turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, that name, Achor, it means trouble, because this man troubled Israel that day. But there's obviously something that was passed down that caused him to have this type of attitude and issue. So when you go back over here to verse 1 of the same chapter of Joshua, and it says, but the children of Israel committed trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi. Stop right there. Now, who is Zabdi? I started looking back on Zabdi and who Zabdi was. And when I looked back on who Zabdi was, I was like, oh, man. I get it. So Zabdi is Hebrew 2067, if you want to look it up. But in the Brown Driver Briggs, it actually tells you the grandfather of who? Yeah, y'all guessed it. The grandfather of Achan. Joshua 7:1. So, Zabdi, grandfather of Achan. Who's the grandfather of Achan? I went to look into it a little bit more and come to find out that Zabdi was Zimri. Zimri, I'm going to show you where he's at. Let's go to Numbers 25. Now, what kind of father figure was this? Now, mind you, you look over here, Achan is with the troubler in Israel at this time because he caused Joshua and many Israelite brethren to be smitten by the Amorites. Well, let's go over here to Numbers 25, 1 through 14, okay? And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel. And Yahweh said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before Yahweh against the sun, and that fierce anger of Yahweh may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay everyone his men that were joined to Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Now, this man got some zeal about himself. Did he not? He saw some junk going on in Israel. He's like, ah, we ain't about to go there. We're going to take care of this. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent, and he thrust both them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. Now look how many people passed because another troubler in Israel wanted to disobey. So if we keep on going down, we have verse 10. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his Yah and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now here it goes. The name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri. Zimri. Okay. One of the five sons of Zerah. Now, they say Zabdi in Joshua, but if you look behind Zabdi, it's Zimri in the book of Numbers. So that tells you right there that this whole family was troublers. Look at the father figures. So you got this man being a troubler in Israel, thinking he can go out there and do what he want and blah, blah, blah. And then he passed that on to his sons. And now when you move over to Joshua and you see his grandson, you know, one of them, and it also a troubler of Israel as well. So you see how you can pass these types of attitudes, issues, spirits, curses. You can pass these down. Pass your own sons, but you can pass it to your sons' sons. It can go on and on and on if you don't kill it. It can move on and move on perpetually until you stop it, until you break it, the curses. So when I look behind that and I seen Oh, man. So that D is actually Zimri, son of Zerah. So this is Akan. This skipped a couple. This is, you know, it skipped a generation of people who, of a family that's been known for being troublers. So now you see why Joshua sat there. Think about this now. Zimri, only him and the woman got slain. Only him and the woman got slain when you read Numbers 25, okay? It didn't say that everything that appertaineth to Zimri, but they did, but this happened before. So all of a sudden, you get over here to Joshua's time, and you got Israelites that done been slain because of this one troubler that wants to steal the accursed thing that they were already warned about not doing, okay? He did the same thing that his forefather did of old. So it passed from generation to generation. Time they like, we got to stop this mess. So they took him, they took his sons, they took his daughters, Akan, and they made sure they killed that curse. Talk about father figures. Fathers, be industrious. Be industrious. Keep learning, like Shepherd kept on telling us and kept on instructing us. Now, mind you, Pastor's saying these things. He ain't going to force you to do nothing. He ain't going to go past your will. But you see a man before us and many men that he's taught that's been following him in this thing. Okay? Being industrious men and keep on going. And now we have another generation that's doing the same thing. So let's just keep this going. Let's keep a perpetual spirit of being industrious men going on. Let's keep that going. Let's keep that moving forward. How about that? Let's keep being righteous father figures, just like Noah and Shem was to Abram. They don't have to be your biological children. I bet you right now we have people in some of the home fellowships or maybe some of the communities and such that are single mothers. But their children, their sons, still need father figures, men that sit before them, that can show them a thing or two, that can stop whatever their father, or if they don't even have a father, if their father passed on and can't teach them, or if they have a father, or they didn't have a father in the home that didn't want to teach them anything. They got men around these children that can help them be industrious. Yes, indeed. And you have to, again, you have to catch them at a young age so that they will see this and they will be glad to do it, that they'll be just eager to come out there and learn. Y'all heard what Pastor Dow said about Pastor Muir's son, right? He was just so happy to see that young man want to come on out there. He was ready to get out of school. He was just itching to get out of school. And man, by the time he got out of school, he was ready to come on out there and jump on what? The work. Because what did he see all the men doing? You didn't see him run to the kitchen. He didn't go to the kitchen to ask mama what you cooking, show me how to cook. That's not what he did. He got out of school and said, shit, I want to come out there with the men and get to working. And that's how we're dealing with our sons on our land. And that's how you should be dealing with your sons on your land. You know what I mean? Or your home fellowship or so on and so forth. Again, men, it's all about us, man. We the ones that got to build this thing. We the ones that got to keep it moving. We the ones that got to maintain it. We the ones that got to teach these youngsters, you know? And again, like I said before, when I seen that old man over there in South Carolina when we were out there working with Brother Jonathan, I was like, man, this man did not waste any bit of time of his life to do anything. And I say, you know what? I may not know what he know and all that good stuff, but I'm sure I am eager to learn. And even when that man was running around that concrete rebuking our behinds, you know what I'm saying? We yes sir. He just kept showing. He may have been checking us, but he was showing us at the same time. And I just took more skills back home. Now I can show them to my son, and he'll be able to show them to his son. Because I don't want to be the grandfather that makes all these ridiculous mistakes. And next thing you know, my grandsons are doing the same thing. Just like you see right here with Zabdi and Zimri, or rather Zimri, and then it passed all the way down to Akan, to where his entire lineage had to be destroyed right then and there. They extinguished the troubler of Israel. So I say to you men, don't become a troubler in Israel. Hallelujah. I really hope and pray that it's edified you, saints. I really, truly do. I try not to make these things too long. I understand the generation we're living in has a short attention span. But may I tell you, it is always a pleasure. Always a pleasure and an honor to be before you all. Always. Bless y'all. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the King.
Abraham seed. But this make ye of the Spirit read, which they that believe on, believe on him should do what?
Should receive.
Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Just like you receive the engrafted word of Yah, which is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. Listen to this. One more and after this and we done. And we still ain't done. Come on with it, brother.
But the Comforter.
But the Comforter.
Which is.
You know, that one that really feels good. Sometime when you need to be held, can't nobody hold you like the Holy Spirit can. Can't nobody comfort you like Yah can. The one that has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. 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 The one that really makes you feel good. The one that really makes you feel alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one that said, I will come and I will suck with you. Hallelujah. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. The same Spirit said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. Hallelujah. Everything that was made, hallelujah, was made by Him. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That same Spirit. Hallelujah. When he was revealed, and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of Yah that is able to take away, hallelujah, the sins of the world, your sins, my sins, your neighbor's sins, the uncircumcised sins, hallelujah, of the world. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. That same Spirit that prophet, hallelujah, said, it is like fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. That same fire, hallelujah, whenever fire touches something, it can't remain in its present state. Hallelujah. That same fire that descended on the day of Pentecost on a feast day. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Fire! Fire! Hallelujah. And they had cloven tongues like that as of fire. Can you say amen? Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Eliyah is a consuming fire. Glory to the King.